For the last few years, we've been covering the story about David DeLeiden and his exposés, undercover videos showing that Planned Parenthood is trafficking baby body parts. And he's been sued, of course, by Planned Parenthood, and he's been represented by the Thomas More Society. We're going to talk about the latest court decision against him recently right here during this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Peter Breen, who has been working for the Thomas More Society, helping David DeLeiden in this case. Peter, thank you so much for joining us again.
It's great to be with you, Jerry.
And by the way, I thought about saying allegedly trafficking baby body parts, but anybody who takes the moment, the time to watch the CMP.org videos sees that they document that Planned Parenthood traffics baby body parts for profit.
Well, and Jerry, one thing that came out in this seven-week jury trial
was
seven long weeks in San Francisco Federal District Court. You know, at the beginning of this, you know, Planned Parenthood kept saying, oh, they were deceptively edited videos. We didn't do this. At the end, very quietly, they agreed to a stipulation that the words spoken on the videos were the actual words of their people. So when push came to shove in a court of law where you've got to back up your contentions with evidence, they didn't challenge the editing or any of the other parts of the videos themselves. So you don't have to say allegedly anymore. And frankly, the United States Congress issues criminal referrals. So, you know, they usually don't do that unless it was a lot more than allegedly. Both the House and the Senate did that based on the sale of fetal tissue for profit.
By the way, when it comes to this charge that supposedly the videos were heavily edited, quote unquote, didn't David and his group actually post the complete interviews as well as the edited versions? And by the way, I work in media. I make television segments. I do radio programs. Everything gets edited down to some degree, especially with the television, you know, programs. You want the whole people's interest. You know, we might do a 30-minute interview and use about 3 or 4 minutes of it, the best or the part that fits our story narrative. So editing is common in media. And but the idea is that, well, this was deceptive. They took things out of context.
And that's the thing. Part of the problem is, so that could be a fair claim if the journalist didn't put the whole video up in order for you, the viewer, to go back and look and say, well, now, okay, they looked at this segment, and then how much did they cut in and out? But you watch those videos, that the final published videos that came out, the shorter versions, they took long clips. So they didn't just chop in for 5 seconds here and there or just take some out-of-context words. They'd give you 30 seconds or a minute of a conversation that you watched, and you'd sit there and go, you know, and then you can look at the longer version. It's totally consistent. Yeah, I don't believe 60 Minutes or Old 2020 or any of the other entities that do undercover, I don't think they put out the full footage of their interviews. But David did, just because he wanted to avoid the charges like this. So anybody that is fair-minded wants to look at it, you will see that these conversations were deadly accurate. And really, it was something, you know, we've been doing depositions and we have these court hearings. And these witnesses are saying a much different thing on the stand when they've been prepared carefully by their attorneys and all of this, than when they thought they were sitting with a friendly fetal tissue sales company. And, you know, for anybody that knows, look, you're going to believe what they said candidly to a believed friend than you will to attorney talk and all of this, you know, carefully prepared testimony in court.
Okay. By the way, speak closer to your mic, if you would, going forward.
Sure.
For the rest of the interview. I appreciate that. Okay. 7 weeks of a trial. He was accused of what? Trespassing, fraud, and what was he convicted of, and where do you go from here? And just go ahead and wax eloquent. Why the decision? Why did it come out this way?
Well, we had a very tough time in San Francisco District Court. That is a tough jurisdiction, probably the toughest jurisdiction in the country for pro-lifers, people of faith. Your jury pool is a very difficult jury pool. And our particular jurist, the judge who was over the case, of course, had prior ties to Planned Parenthood and other very hard left-wing organizations. And even during the proceedings in the trial earlier on, his spouse had been on Facebook advocating, comparing David to domestic terrorists, advocating for articles that had said he should be put in prison. So we were really up against it. And the evidentiary rulings were tough. But what happened at the end of the day, Planned Parenthood went so far as to allege that David and his colleagues were engaged in racketeering. So that is the sort of thing that mob figures would do. You know, it's that you think about things like murder and bribery and extortion. And so they charged David with that. And because we were unable to put on a lot of evidence, we were unable to even show the videos that were published. So this discussion we had of are the videos edited or not, the jury didn't even get to see the videos as in their final format so that they could make a distinction or a determination. Was this project of any benefit? Was it a social utility? And so we weren't able to do that. On the contrary, Planned Parenthood was actually able to put into evidence the alleged activities of criminal activities performed at abortion clinics. So they put in all of these things about murder and attempted murder and arson that David and his colleagues, they admitted, had absolutely nothing to do with. Stretching back to 1973, they just put into evidence to inflame the jury, and we couldn't actually just show them the videos that Planned Parenthood had sued over. So think about that as you've already got a left-wing jury that is going to be very, very friendly to Planned Parenthood, and all they're fed are, you know, these items of alleged violence at abortion clinics, and they're not shown any of the contrary evidence, really, at any great length, from David and his colleagues. You know, I guess we had hoped that we would be able to appeal to them, but we just weren't able to, based on the evidentiary rulings and what was put to them.
So, sounds like a terrible miscarriage of justice. You know, sometimes it seems like the ACLU and Planned Parenthood, and they're somehow able to judge shop. Can our side do that a little more, too? I mean, I don't know how that works.
Well, it's interesting. When you look at judges nominated by Republican presidents, normally those judges will say things like, well, I'm here just to call balls and strikes. I'm supposed to be neutral. I'm supposed to be disconnected from the entity and what have you. And they may take what we call an originalist interpretation of the Constitution where, you know, you don't read things into the Constitution. And the problem is, so if you want a judge that is more biased in your favor, a Republican nominated judge who espouses this sort of a philosophy is not going to be your judge. You know, they say, look, my job is to be a referee. It's to call balls and strikes. But on the other side, you know, you get this talk of a living on the left wing side. You know, they're talking more about judges as policymakers and doing the living Constitution. The Constitution is whatever the judge wants to think it is. So it's not exactly good for the goose, good for the gander in the judge area, and so that is a real problem that you're facing in terms of some of the politicization of the federal judiciary. But again, you know, if we were able to get a neutral sort of evidentiary set of rulings and you know, there are also these things, jury instructions, they go to the jury. The descriptions of the way the claims were framed were very, very hostile to us. So that was the sort of thing that we are going to challenge on appeal as well. And the judge even directed verdicts. So didn't even let the jury decide, was there actually trespassing? Where David and his colleagues paid admission fees, they were handed badges, they walked in, the judge ruled as a matter of law, oh, that's trespassing. So that we didn't quite understand that, and the judge ruled that contracts had been breached, and you were looking at it going, well, you know, these contracts weren't worth the paper they were printed on, but the jury was unable to even rule on that. So a lot of things, you know, critical things were taken out of the hands of the jury, and then the jury was given instructions essentially to go against David and his colleagues, and then they were inflamed again by this evidence of wrongdoing at abortion clinics that had nothing to do with David. So we really we were up against it, and again we had hoped that we would be able to get a better decision out of the jury. But now we're going to go on appeal. We're going to challenge it. I'll tell you that one of the great seminal cases, the case law on undercover journalism, is set. I mean, it's good, strong case law in our favor. 25 years ago, ABC was sued by Food Lion. ABC had exposed some meat mishandling and things like that, food mishandling. Jury verdict was millions of dollars against ABC. On appeal, it was reduced to $2. And so we are hopeful for a positive result on appeal, but still, it's going to be a long, tough road from here to there.
Do you think that even despite their liberal bias, some of the media outlets like 60 Minutes, which could, to my knowledge, I mean, I haven't seen 60 Minutes in years, but if it's still on the air and they still do some undercover journalism. Anyway, do you think anybody engaged in undercover journalism would look at this decision against David DeLayden and say, you know, I don't agree with anything about David DeLayden because I'm pro-abortion. But that's not a good decision. That's not a good decision for undercover journalism.
Well, and here was the thing. Some of the bases for the claims that went to the jury were the use of a cover story. So not telling the truth about who you were.
Well, that's undercover. That's a part of undercover journalism.
Right. And using a novelty ID. So if you needed to get into a conference, or, you know, you'd have the name match your cover story person, you know, because you can't. You can't walk in and say, hey, I'm a pro-life activist, the one you know, a guy named David DeLayden. No, you walk in and say, I'm Robert Sarkis. I come from a fetal tissue buying company. And so that's standard stuff.
Okay, back to the microphone. Back to the microphone, please.
I'm sorry. That's okay, right. So just the act of using a cover story, of using an assumed name and a novelty ID, those alone were all that Planned Parenthood had on a bunch of their claims, and that's where the jury found damages. They were allowed to find that. The judge instructed them in a very favorable way to Planned Parenthood. So multi-million-dollar verdict just for doing the same thing that 60 Minutes would do. I'll tell you, early in this case, we had a hearing in front of the judge, and then the next weekend I'm watching 60 Minutes where they went and were getting they were interviewing shady attorneys in New York City who are willing to help a client do some illegal things. Well, all of those attorneys are in big buildings where you know that you know, the CBS producer, whomever the undercover person was, had to present their ID on the way in just to get up in the building. So you know there was a novelty ID involved. You know there was a cover story. That, under this jury verdict, would be fraud. It would be multi-million-dollar verdicts against you. And so this cannot stand on appeal, and so we are very hopeful to be able to get it reversed on appeal. And you know, I know abortion is a controversial issue, but for heaven's sakes, you know, can't we uphold the freedom of the First Amendment and the media in order to do its work?
I understand, and part of what confuses this is because it may be a different case against David DeLayden, the very same David DeLayden. But anyway, the LA Times came out with an editorial saying we don't like this, you know, lawsuit against David DeLayden, not that we agree with him at all or his viewpoint, but this has bad implications for journalism. The LA Times said that. We have less than a minute to go.
And we've had the LA Times editorialize against this. We've had other entities. In fact, there was a prominent news service locally there in San Francisco that had a person interviewed that said, I hate David DeLayden. He's terrible. But for heaven's sakes, this is not the way to punish him. And, you know, they said, look, you can't take and criminalize activity that is fundamentally First Amendment protected. And I'll tell you one critical point. We asked the judge to instruct the jury on the First Amendment, the real meaning of it, that it protects this activity, the publication of the videos. He literally did the opposite. He went back and said, nope, First Amendment doesn't defend or protect you in any way, shape, or form. Totally false. That was what we were up against in the San Francisco District Court. So I want folks to think, you know, look, this is a terrible decision. It was a miscarriage of justice, but it's something that we do have good, strong grounds for appeal with continued prayers and support. We are going to push this all the way. We hope to get a better result in the Court of Appeals, and if we don't get it there, we will take this all the way to the United States Supreme Court.
ThomasMoreSociety.org for more information. We have 10 seconds to wrap up. How come some reports said $870,000 judgment, other reports said $2.2 million? Short version.
Okay, the 870 was the punitive damages. The rest of it, so the combined total is over $2.2 million for all of the defendants combined.
I see. Okay, thank you so much for being with us, Peter. All the best.
Thank you, Jerry.